Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he's and they, she's and gays, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast brought to you by Wandering One Studios and me, your host, Link Flores. This is going to come out on Thursday because yesterday I was just bombed. We'll get to that in just a minute. But it'll be Thursday, June 18th. So not only happy Pride Month, but happy Juneteenth to everyone. Thank you so much for all the support, all the love, all the follows, all the emails that I've been getting every now and again. I'd like to see more of them. I know that this doesn't have a very big reach. I don't know what to do about that. But I would like to say that I'm grateful to each and every one of you for everything that you do to help support the podcast. I know it's not easy, and I know that sometimes people are like, I don't wanna. But, you know, it really does help. And so anything you do to share, commenting, rating, subscribing, all that jazz. All that actually matters. It does mean something to me, at the very least. It means something to me. So please continue to do so. I really appreciate it. And I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to you, and I'm grateful for you. Yeah, let's get into it. So this past week, I have been back and forth to the airport more times than I care to count and didn't get on a single fucking plane myself. Like, I have driven to and from the airport more times in the last week than I have probably in the last 3 years of my life. And if I never see the airport again, it will probably be too soon. Here's a couple things. One, airport traffic is always kind of shit. I think we all know that, right? Like, no matter how well designed the, you know, roads and concourses going in and around your airport are designed, you still have to deal with people. And the airport's one of the worst microcosms of humanity that you can find. I know that there's a thing in Dogma where it's like, it's the best of, you know, everybody in the airport, whatever. You know, if you've ever seen Dogma, you'll get what I'm saying. I actually think it's the worst. It's people. I mean, I think maybe back when flying was so quote-unquote expensive and so exclusive that, like, people were showing up and wearing ties, you know, they'd wear like a full dress with a slip and nylons, you know, it was a thing, you know what I mean? It was an event to fly. But now anybody with a couple hundred bucks and a pair of sweatpants can get on an airplane. And that's not to say that people shouldn't be comfortable or anything like that. What I'm saying is, when you make something so accessible sometimes that just anybody can take advantage of it, it seems like people just tend to value it less. That doesn't mean it's worth less. It's just the perception of it is, you know, deemed to be lesser than because anybody could do this, right? I mean, it's kind of the same way that we treat a lot of stuff. I think about the way that people engage with, you know, here's a good one. The way people engage with and talk to customer service people. You know what I mean? Like, they have this perception that because, you know, they're customer service people around, you can just treat them any old kind of way. It's like, well, you're here and, you know, I don't have to be and you do. So this is beneath me kind of thing. That's, I think, the way people treat airports and air travel in general. But airports in particular, and the traffic is always murder around one of those places. Unfortunately, on my way up for one of the runs, we did see, thankfully, it seemed like everybody was at least alive and okay, but we did see an accident right at the airport access road. Looked pretty scary, but, you know, obviously we're not going to stop and get in there. The police were already there. And as we were driving past it, I'm like, ugh, you know, I can't really pull over and stop. One, I'm not an EMT. Two, there's already a police officer there, so I would have just probably ended up being in the way. And three, as we rounded the corner, we saw EMS and fire rescue on the way already. So we're like, good. Then at least we know. And I know there's that available at the airport. So, like, I know the response time is going to be lickety split right around there. But it did feel, I felt kind of bad. And, you know what I mean? Like, I would have stopped to help. If I was the first person on scene, I'm absolutely stopping. But then, you know, like, now I've run the risk of also being involved in the accident, or, you know, maybe my vehicle gets hit or I get hurt, something like that. You don't know. There's a million things that run through your head. But I think that that would have been something I would, I know that's something I would do because I've done stuff like that in the past. That's just, I guess it's just the way I'm wired, you know. But, like, when I watch people drive in and around the airport, people drive like absolute maniacs. Like, you're in one of the places that, as a public, you know, as a public place and as a private civilian person in the United States, at least, you're at one of the places that anybody can walk in and out of with like some of the most insane security and the most intensely scrutinized safety protocols, right? Like, I mean, like I said, police and fire, EMS, they're all available right there. You've got ICE, unfortunately, but you also have TSA. You know what I mean? The police department, the airports have their own police departments, not just the state or local or city, whatever police department. They have their own police. And I think as a private citizen, I mean, outside of like a state building, you know, like the governor's mansion or, you know, city hall maybe, or like your state Supreme Court. Like, this is one of the most highly protected, highly, you know, monitored places on the planet. And yet people drive like their ass is on fire. Look, let's just put it this way. If you're still driving and you're late to get on your flight, you've just missed your flight. You know what I mean? Driving super fast just means that you're already late. You're not going to... It assures that, one, you're already late, but two, you're not going to get there in time, no matter what you do. Unless you can drive, like, unless you're, oh, there go my glasses. Unless you're driving a freaking DeLorean, there's no way you're getting back to your flight on time. Hold on one second. I need to pause this so I can fix my glasses. I think I may have broken them. Okay, not broken, just smeared. All right, sorry for that. What was I saying? Anyway, airport traffic is nuts. Because they have their own police forces, basically. And people still act like, you know, they're the main character in everybody else's story. And it's crazy to think that way, right? Like, even like I said, when you're on your way to the airport and you're racing to get there, trust me when I say you're most likely, I can't say you're guaranteed to miss your flight. You're most likely going to miss your flight. If you're not already in the airport, and that like weird like 2 hour window they tell you you gotta be there. If you're not in the airport within like, I say plus minus 15, 20 minutes of that, you're most likely not gonna make your flight. Like, it's rare that you get there like, you know, maybe an hour before your flight and you just go straight on through and jump right on. That's almost impossible. Even with an hour leeway, you know what I mean? So just know that. If you look at your flight and it says you have to be there at 5:30, and it's 4:45 and you're still not inside the airport, you've missed your flight. Just fucking give it up. That's my message to you. Because when you drive that crazy, you put everybody else at risk. Like, going into the airport, you know, the road out there is about 50 miles an hour. Then it breaks down to 45, then 35, then 20, then 10, just in front of like the arrivals and departures doors. So if you're up my ass when I'm coming around the bend doing 30 miles an hour and you're trying to outrun everybody, you're late. Just chill, relax. Hey, look, things happen. Circumstances be what they be. Chill fuck out. Just, you must chill. You have to chill. You gotta. And no one's gonna get anywhere if you crash us all into a wall, right? And nothing's going to happen there. I think it's one of those, I don't know. There's a lot of main character energy that's been going around lately. And I know it's a phrase I don't totally like, but I actually do understand the application of it. And maybe it's from being like a dad and a stepdad that like, you just kind of realize if you're a father or you're a stepdad, it's never really going to be about you. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of those areas where, like, people are like, well, men have it so easy in the world and, you know, men get more of this and men get more of that. Maybe out in the world, but in your own family, fuck you. I mean, like, you are not the main character. And I think that there's enough of a handful of dudes out there who just kind of get that. And they're like, just resign themselves to that notion. You know what I mean? Like, your input ends up barely mattering. And your main function is to continue to function. You know, I know that because I'm a dude and I have friends who are dudes and we do that to each other. Like, when the homies are fine, you never really hear from each other. But when somebody starts to break down, you're like, oh shit, this nigga's in trouble. And you're like, what is going on, dude? You usually chill. Get your shit together, man. What the fuck? Like, we're mean as fuck to each other because we know, like, nobody gives a fuck about you unless you're functional. That's just the rule. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. But look at how many species in nature, like after the male, you know, prop, like, you know, impregnates the female of the species or whatever, they just kill the dude. They like off it. You know, praying mantises, black widows. There's certain species of, like, you know, fish and snakes, especially maybe not more mammalian animals. And occasionally you'll see like animals that like the male establishes a hierarchy. But you know what they do to the other ones? They fucking kill them. It's like, I got, you don't get, fuck you. As long as I'm doing shit, nobody needs to worry about nothing else. And I don't have to do a whole lot. I just got to make sure that like I keep everything kind of moving along. Never seen a lion? A male lion doesn't do dick. The females do all the hunting. They raise the kids. You know what I mean? And they help guide the pack. The only thing the male is there for is to make more children and make a lot of noise when things go wrong. That's about it. If you can't do those things, then somebody else comes along, challenges him, and kills him, and he's gone. But that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like, this is not a red pill moment. It's just a realization that you get when you're, I guess maybe it's just a man or whatever. You kind of go like, I'm not the most important thing on the planet, so I got to learn to chill the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like, a good dude will do that. I mean, obviously, they don't want to be completely ignored. That's going to make a good dude go bad. But, you know, just, hey, man, it's just not about me. You know what I mean? Like, if I needed to be about me, I'll make it about me on my own time. I don't need other people to make it about me because I know they don't. And I know that they won't. Like, as long as they can get by doing the barest of minimums on my end, that's what they'll do. And you just got to take that in stride. So, like, when I see people ask, you know, just like ass on fire around the airport, I'm like, dude, that's a thing I haven't really understood for quite some time. You know? Like, I get that, you know, you have to move and get out of the way. I do understand that. I understand a sense of urgency, but like trying to transplant yourself into everybody else's life because you fucked up, I don't get that at all. I really don't. And that's probably one of the reasons why, like, you know, all this shit that goes on in politics and whatever, I kind of go like, so I'm disgusted and appalled and disappointed, but very rarely am I ever surprised. You know what I mean? Like, what's her face? Nancy Mace. Again, like I've said before, anytime somebody in Trump's cabinet is a woman and they get replaced, they're going to replace them with the more incompetent and more stupid man. She's getting replaced right now. Like, her replacement is currently on the route to confirmation in front of the Senate, and that's gonna happen. He's gonna get confirmed because they're stupid, and that's gonna happen. You know, it's just as dumb as like the Kennedy Center thing. When he put his name on the Kennedy Center, we were all like, dude, you're not supposed to do that. And you know, the removal of it was kind of anticlimactic because, you know, it wasn't like there was a big ticker tape parade and fireworks and shit like that for it. But it was kind of cathartic because I think we all needed to see that, like, you know, they can't win all the time. And they can't get away with being little children and stomping their feet and then getting their goddamn way. And, you know, like that main character energy, right? Like, that's a lot of them. And they're not that. Most of the people who have the highest amount of main character energy are the least important people and the least useful people you'll come to meet. I mean, you just look around, just look at Trump's cabinet, you know, and it's very easy to see that like almost everybody there has the same kind of ego, but to a lesser extent, right? Like, they all want to be that, but they can't do that. So they try their best and they all look like dorks when they do it, right? Like, one of the great things is the whole thing with the reflecting pool outside the Lincoln Memorial. Like, it's really very sad and pathetic to watch somebody stumble fuck something up so bad and get dragged for it. He's like, well, you know, every president, even Obama, when he took over and did renovations, there's algae in the pool. He didn't turn the shit fucking Chicago River St. Patrick's Day green, my guy. Like, your shit is growing out of the pool. It's crazy. And their solution, somebody said it was a great one, their solution, pour chemicals into it. Oh, here's a great idea. You drain the entire thing. You painted it with this paint that was going to basically promulgate algae growth, right? And then once you've done that and it starts growing over, what do? Your solution, pour hydrogen peroxide into the birds. Go in there, man. I mean, people shouldn't go in there. People have gone in there. But birds go in there, dude. Like, what are you doing? And now they're saying they ran some new technology. There's an ozone nano something, nano filter or something like that. And it's supposed to help, like, you know, basically, I think it's supposed to deoxygenate the water enough that the algae can't survive. And then when they die, you just kind of vacuum them up off the bottom. I'm like, that's all cute and all, but where's the first bloom coming from? If you painted over the whole thing, the best way to clean a pool, and as a guy who's worked around pools for a little while, the only real good way to clean a pool is to empty the whole shit out. Like, you just throwing a bunch of chemicals in there, yeah, you can shock the pool, but then you can't use it for like 2 days. You know what I mean? And anything that goes in there has to go like into another vat of clean water to wash off immediately. Like, shocking a pool, if you fall in when you get in a pool shock, you're in for a very rough next couple of days to a week. Like, that's how toxic those chemicals are. Like, that's why, like, if you want to clean your pool, the best thing you can do, as fucked up as it is to drain that joker and scrub it down with a brush. Anything less than that is basically just an exercise in futility. But, again, this is, you know, I think I know what's going on, so I'm going to do whatever it is I want to do. And it doesn't matter if it works, as long as everybody thinks that I'm great. Maybe these multiple airport runs have actually taken their toll on my brain. Like, I've felt that in my soul. I'm like, ugh. I didn't like the way I felt when I said that. Oh, my God. Yeah, but, I mean, this is, again, super loser dude. So we had the UFC fight on the lawn, which is a fucking shit show, as one would expect. People are getting arrested. People are getting into fist fights in the crowd. And then, of course, we have this stupid Josh Hockett dude, who's a fighter in one of the matches. Now, obviously, I couldn't watch it. Funnily enough, Paramount Plus aired the fucking fight as a pay-per-view event, because why wouldn't they, right? When wouldn't a network take an opportunity to cash in on something like this? I guess since CBS is getting so much shit, Paramount thought it was their turn. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, as a network, we could, as a streaming service, we could take this one for CBS. Yeah, and then fucking Josh Hockett calling Michelle Obama a man and trying to pander to Trump. All the fighters going like, you're such a strong guy. It's like, you know, I feel like at a certain point, like, some of you have been listening for a while may remember how I said that, like, nobody wants to tell Trump anything bad about himself. I don't think it's just because they're afraid of him or what he's going to do, or they're afraid of losing favor. I think sometimes they just don't like him. Like, I think sometimes they just don't like him. And then when they do say something, it almost feels like they're pandering to, like, a toddler or a child, right? Like, when it's his birthday this past Sunday, so they're walking up to him like, who's such a good, strong boy? Yes, you are. You're a good president, aren't you? He's a big, strong man. You're so good, Donnie J. Look at you. I mean, it feels condescending at a certain point. You know what I mean? Like, patronizing. And he's so stupid, though, that he's sitting there in his high chair, like, yes, love and adore me. Love and adore me. I don't know, man. I get the idea of, like, you know, not everything's about you. I think if that was me, I think it would just make me sick at a certain point. Like, nobody wants to be completely ignored. Nobody wants to be completely, you know, just cast aside. But I still don't think it's really, one, I know it's not healthy. I don't think anybody truly, really wants all the attention on them 24/7. Not anybody with any kind of sense. You know what I mean? It just seems really dangerous and also really stupid. But I mean, I guess that's a Trump thing. The Freedom 250 propaganda mobile came to town here, and it was met with a bunch of, and the crowd goes mild. I don't think anybody really, who's going to go see it? You know what I mean? It's gas prices the way they are. You're driving a fucking mini fluff mobile around. It really was like, it was really kind of like a self-aggrandizing sort of thing. They put in the 50 founding fathers or whatever, right? Which is bullshit. They put in a bunch of white dudes, four women, three of whom were white, one of whom was black, and then they made the entire thing like where you could talk and interact with them out of AI. So they had like that plasticky, rubbery kind of look. I saw the videos of it on news. I was not going to go. And then they found out the whole thing is funded by PragerU. It's like founded and put together by PragerU, who, by the way, were some of the architects of the Project 2025 fiasco we tried to avoid with Kamala Harris and failed somehow. I still don't understand entirely how that happened, but I get it. Like, I do, but I don't. But yeah, PragerU is behind this whole thing. And of course they are. Project 2025 is behind this. And it was at Hillside College. They were behind this thing. Yeah, it's a you know, it's just a stroke machine for Trump, and it's weird. And it would be one thing if he was actually doing things well, right? Then I could be like, all right, I guess we can kiss your ass if you're doing a good job. But then you got the World Cup. Nations are coming over here to visit for the World Cup, and they're coming with their own anti-Donald Trump chants. And people are like, we'll join in. Like, how do you say it? Like, I want to make sure I get all the words right. Like, nobody wants to see him. I mean, he's being booed everywhere he goes. People universally hate him. Now, the whole thing on the White House lawn with the UFC fight, that was a debacle. But even when that dude said, Michelle Obama's a man, am I right, Mr. President? You heard people, like, cheering, and then also people booing, like, dude, come on. I love that Obama and the Obamas in general live in these motherfuckers' brains rent-free every day. Even like Trump's zero-sum deal with Iran that just got signed this past week, like just within the last like 48 hours, is basically us just going back to good. Like everything that was going on just before he decided to go over there and fuck with the Strait of Hormuz, that was all he did, was just kind of take it back. And then we have to give them money now. Are you fucking kidding me? You've defunded healthcare, you've defunded social service programs for millions of Americans, and you're going to hand away money to one of our quote-unquote enemies in the Middle East? What a fuck. And the people who are still on Team Trump have got to be the biggest rubes ever. I sincerely do have a bridge for sale. I need you all to email me at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. I have a bridge for sale for each and every one of you. Just, I can't believe the stupidity. And you could see like all the people who were there to kiss his ass. So the founder of Kalshi, Reddit's co-founder, who I just found out this week was married to Serena Williams. You know, I knew Joe Rogan was going to be there because it's UFC. Dana White, obviously, because it's UFC. Shane Gillis, one of the comedians from Kevin Hart's roast of himself. One of the ones that was throwing around all the like racist tropes and jokes, and Kevin Hart just like sitting there laughing with his big ass teeth out. He was there too. There was a lot. It was senators, you know, other politicians that were hanging out there. Kid Rock, of course, because never missed an event with Kid Rock. And of course, the whole thing sponsored by Bud Light and Monster Energy Drink, which if you drink Monster after this, I just don't know. I think Monster's a foul drink in the first place. I remember when it first launched and I was in college and they were trying to get kids to buy the shit. I'm like, it's $7 a can for something that tastes like radioactive dinosaur urine? No thanks, I'll pass. If you're still drinking Monster at this day and age, you're part of the problem. And Bud Light too, fuck them. That's what's funny is like, it's so funny to see how quick people will shill for the bucks. And you see it in like entertainment, you see it in politics, obviously, and you see it like here in commerce, Bud Light. Then they had their trans spokesperson on the cans, and all the rednecks and MAGA people were shooting them. But here's how stupid they are: they bought the cans of beer to shoot the cans of beer to protest the beer, but then they videotaped themselves doing it. So it's like it's just more publicity for Bud Light, you fucking dopes. Then Bud Light goes, you know what? Let's go ahead and support this Freedom 250 thing. That's fine. Nobody remember that we had a trans person on our can. They hated us, right? As long as it's free Bud Light for everybody. Woohoo! Fucking chuckleheads. And they deserve what they get. You know what I mean? Like, all the ridicule and scandal that's going to come up behind this, it's all deserved. It's all merited. they're gonna fail eventually. Like, it's just, it can't, the center can't hold on this much stupidity in one place. You know what I mean? It's just, it's like stacking too many bowling balls on like a tarp or something. It's just, eventually it's gonna give out. I don't know. But it, I mean, it is a gross, it's a gross, like, it's a gross constituency. It's a gross administration. So it's not too unexpected that they would be gross as well in everything they say and do. It's just fucking bizarre. Anyway. Yeah, I think that'll do it. I mean, I'm stoked about a couple of cool things. The Knicks won. I don't have a personal stake in the Knicks winning the NBA Finals. But good for them. Good for the New York Knicks. It was awesome to see the city of New York. It was kind of sad to see the buses get burned, but it was kind of like, this is probably as more tame than some other celebrations we've seen over the years. And the fact that people were just having a good time, and it, I mean, the citizens of New York who are Knicks fans, and Knicks fans around the world, I think they really needed this. It was cool to see that moment where history kind of shifted a little bit in their favor. That was really awesome. You know? I don't really follow sport like that, you know, especially not like major league sports, with the exception of football. But I mean, I think basketball is awesome. I know it's just like everything else. It's all mobbed up and it's all just entertainment. There's no real, like, it's not that there's no athleticism, but there's no real sport here. You know what I mean? Like, again, a lot of these refs are mobbed up. You know, the rules are rigged. They're changed every year. Can't do this. Got to kick off from here. Got to throw, you know, shoot your free throws from this point. You know, it's like all kind of bullshit. And of course, you see like the refs who make intentionally bad or obviously false calls. And you're like, what the fuck was that? Like, we didn't just see that with our own eyes. The fact that some of those refs don't get dragged off the court by the fans is amazing to me. Like, I would think if that was happening, it was so egregious, at some point somebody would be like, fuck it, they can't arrest us all. And they'll run and grab this motherfucker and be like, try doing it again. And you're like, ah, I'll call the game fair. It was like, was the $20,000 check in your back pocket worth your fucking life? You can't spend this shit if you're dead, fool. It's going to be real hard to drive a fucking Maserati that they bought you. You got no fucking hands and legs. You can do it, but it's going to cost you as much in renovations to make it happen as it will to just not do this. Fucking morons. Anyway, that aside, congratulations to the New York Knickerbockers. Good job, good job, good job. World Cup is still going on. I haven't followed World Cup. I maybe hear a little bit about it here and there, but I'm not really into the World Cup. I never really was into soccer. I just found it just very dry. You know what I mean? Like, it's 3.5 hours. It's like 3 minutes of action crammed into 3.5 hours, just like baseball. You know? It's just a very long sit around and do nothing kind of game. I'm like, all right, that's cool, but it's not for me. You know, then somebody out there is going to be like, well, you don't understand the nuance. I, you're right. I don't. Because I've watched those sports on and off over the years and tried to get into it. I'm like, I just truly cannot. It's just, I've really tried. I just can't. I can't do it. Can't do it. I'm trying, but I can't. I also tried to find some decent sweatpants. I couldn't find them shits either. Now, here's the thing. I went to, This place called Zoomies in the mall. It's like a skate shop. Some of you may or may not know about it. And they had some really cool looking ones that were really sturdy, really well, you know, put together. They looked great. They felt great. Like, they're kind of fuzzy on the inside, which I don't really care for that so much. Like, the furry inside on sweatpants is not really my favorite thing. But they're pretty sturdy, good stitching, all that stuff. The only problem is they didn't carry them in human male sizes. So, like we have an extra large. I'm like, no, you don't. You have what is essentially a medium to large. And then, like, you know, you need something that actually has room for people who have body parts to put these on. Like, I think they're just made for, like, really thin, skinny skater kids, which is fine. But, like, they're not the only people who skate. Nor are they the only ones that they could sell their fashions to if they made them reasonable. Because, god damn it, are they expensive. For the amount of money it costs for like one pair of sweatpants, I could have probably gotten three cheapo ones at like a Walmart or Target. You know what I mean? Like, they would be terrible. They would rip apart in like the inside of like 6 weeks, 6 months to a year. But I'd get three of them. You know what I mean? Now, these other ones would probably last me like 4 or 5 years, maybe more. But, you know, you wouldn't feel it so great at like fucking $75, $80. Some of them are as high as like $120 a pair. That's way too much to spend on apparel, in my personal opinion. Like a pair of sweatpants, though, if it was like a suit jacket or something like that, or like a really smooth, like, you know, like collared shirt, you know, some nice slacks, a coat, maybe a jacket, something like that. But like just a pair of fucking sweatpants for $120, miss me all the way with that shit. It was very sad too, because I actually liked what I saw, and I'm like, I really want to get these, but they're just way, I mean, for them to be so small and so tight and tiny, and then to be that expensive, just does not make sense. So I may just have to see if I can find somebody who's a good enough seamstress to like kind of pattern out what I want and have them build, like basically construct them for me, build like the pattern, everything like that, and then make them. Because Lord knows it would take me way too long to learn how to do this shit. I find somebody who can make it. I'm like, hey, look, let's drop a pattern, drop a design so I want it to look. Make that shit happen and I'll pay you for it. And then you keep the pattern. I mean, I keep the patterns and stuff like that. And I'll just sell the patterns online for people who want them. I don't need to make the sweatpants. I could just sell them. And unless I found somebody who's like, I'll manufacture them for you for a piece. I'm like, sure, then we'll do that. I'd sell the pattern, you know what I mean? So people could be like, I can make my own jeans or whatever out of this. Yes, you can, and you probably should. They'll feel great, they'll look great, and then if you size them out right, anybody can wear these shits and they'll be good. I don't know. Never been a fashion designer, though, so I don't know. Maybe my shit would look weird. It probably would look weird. Let's just be honest, it would probably look weird. Ugh. Crazy, 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 crazy. Crazy, crazy. Crazy fool, crazy fool. That's, I don't know why I wrote this note. I think it was just because I was hungry. So I'm at Late July chips. I've talked about them before. Late July's nacho chips are the best chips I've ever eaten as far as like nacho chips especially are concerned. It's not really even a debate. I don't know why I thought it needed to be on the pod today, though. I don't know. I also mentioned something about trying to look for IQ Fiber. I haven't gotten to that yet. I need to do some research on them. And I want to see if they can pull the conduit out of where stupid-ass Comcast ruined the side of my house and run their conduit through there instead. Because if that's the case, I'm like, yeah, can you pull that shit out and run your stuff through there? Because that would be dope. I'm like, you don't have to dig anything. Just run it through here. They're like, all right. If they can do that, I'm like, yes, you win. Son of the beach. Son of the beach. That's one of those like household problems. Like, I have to send back a pan from the set that we got because it scorched somehow. It's like a warp in the material and it caused it to sit on the one part of the stove for too long. And you could hear it just going ping, 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 ping as the magnet kept trying to connect. And it was just sending like a little electric shock or whatever through the pan. And it scorched the bottom of the thing and warped it. So I'm like, I have to send that back. We have to pick out a new faucet for the kitchen. Definitely need to pick out some new ones for our bathrooms at some point, probably. If we're going to be here any longer than like another 3 to 5 years, definitely going to have to do that sooner than later. Just because, like I said before, the faucets in our bathroom, when I leaned down one time to shave and then rinse my head, and I leaned back, like stood back up, I got a little too close to the faucet and it actually split my head open. Like it peeled the skin off my head because the edges are that sharp. And then one other time I was trying to shake my hands off underneath the faucet and my fingertip nicked, like just hit the side of this thing. It's just the edge of the faucet where it opened, where the water comes out. And it's so fucking sharp that it split my finger open. I'm like, so I've cut myself two or three times on these faucets just by like doing normal, using the bathroom, washing your hands kind of shit. I'm like, this is crazy. I've never had this happen anywhere I've ever lived. And then also, the wife bought towels so we could try them out, and we got them here. And I'm actually kind of concerned now. Like, the homie Brian Simpson over from BS with Brian Simpson podcast said, whatever you put on or in your body, you don't skimp on quality for. Like, whatever it costs to make sure you get the best that you could put on your body that you could possibly afford, do that. And I'm inclined to agree because we got these towels, and I started... I guess my wife washed them when she got them here. Ooh, goodness, excuse me. And then hung them up so we could use them. Well, in my experience, especially when you get cheap towels, you have to wash them at least 4 or 5 times to get all the extra fuzz and shit off of them so that they can be usable and not leave like pills of whatever color fabric all over your house, all over you. And I was like, all right, so they've been, after I'd washed them like 4 or 5 times myself, actually I washed them 3 or 4 times myself. So they've been washed like between 4 and 5 times. They weren't pilling up and stuff like that when you went to go and dry off with them. However, I took the washcloth into the shower, start to lather it up. I look down, I'm like, why is all the soap like turquoise blue? Oh, the towels were so cheap that just hot water and soap was making the dye come out of the towel. These hand towels had been washed along with the other towels. They had been washed 4 or 5 times. And now they're still just leaking ink. I'm like, these need to go away. So now I'm thinking we might have to look into like a much more exclusive like brand of towel, or we have to just buy plain ass white towels and just call it a day. You know what I mean? When they run their course, they just run their course. Fuck it. But I don't like the idea. I mean, I love the idea of having like nice colored towels, but rubbing the dye all over myself every time I go in the shower is not my favorite thing. And then, you know, the fact that after that many washes, they were still leaking dye, it couldn't have been good. It couldn't have been good. Those are the kind of things you face when you're a homeowner, right? It's just shit that you just can't really get around. It's just going to be there. You just can't dodge it, baby. Just like dealing with the HOA, we were back on a bullshit again because it's that time of year, right? We're supposed to have our annual meeting and they wanted to put it at the end of the fucking month. And I'm like, dude, that's like really right before fucking the 4th of July. This is when you want to do this. Because they're unconscionable, hateful beings. That's why. But it's just like, why? You're just really just trying to piss everybody off. I also think the reason they do this, it's like a Tuesday at 6. Like, you know, Tuesday, the middle of the beginning of the fucking work week at 6 p.m., you're only doing this just to further disenfranchise people who would be voting against you. And because you know they're not going to come out for this thing at this time, you don't give a shit. You're like, yeah, fuck you. If you don't come to the thing, you can't vote. Which is not how that's supposed to work. It's supposed to make paper ballots available for being mailed in, that kind of shit. But no, they don't want to do any of that. So now we got to run, and it's, you know, the middle of the month. So we've only got like maybe like a week and a half, 2 weeks to try to get people to pay attention to the fact that the HOA is trying to screw us yet again and try to get new leadership elected in and get rid of our current HOA management company because they suck. See what I mean? But that's also that main character energy there too, though. Like they like no matter what, as long as they get to do whatever they want to do and screw over everybody else, it doesn't matter if they have to live in this community with us. They don't care. They just do whatever they want. And until they have to suffer any kind of consequences for it, that's going to continue to happen. And if people don't get together to work together, they get to use that main character energy on everybody else and make everybody else's life uncomfortable. I don't want to do this board. I really don't. I'm only going to run, I think, just because out of spite and fuck you. And if anybody else can be president besides you, then that's what needs to happen. I just think that that's, at the very least, how much worse could I fuck it up? At least I'm not doing anything malicious. If I did anything else, it would just be stupid or ignorant. Like, I would just do a dumb thing, or I'd do a thing where I didn't know I couldn't do a thing, and I'd be like, oops, my bad. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going out of my way to be malicious. I have to live around you people. So, like, why would I make my life harder? I don't get it. I don't get it. I guess that's probably why I never got into, I mean, I love acting, but it's probably why I never went very far. There's like maybe a level of narcissism that I still didn't fully possess or unlock or, you know, aspire to that wouldn't let me be an actor and be in Hollywood. Who the fuck knows? And maybe I'd be a worse person if I did. Maybe I might be an actual sociopath. Ooh, this is going to be a fun one. I heard this the other day. What do you guys think? So speaking of sociopaths, how do you put on your socks and shoes? Do you go sock, sock, shoe, shoe? Or do you go sock, shoe, sock, shoe? I'd be very interested to hear your thoughts on this one. Now, I personally think if you're going sock, shoe, you need to be studied. Like, we need to lock you into like a closet or something somewhere with like electrodes and cameras and, you know, clinicians walking with like clipboards taking notes on you and how you operate, because that is crazy people behavior, in my personal estimation. I could be wrong. There could be somebody that I know who's like, I do that all the time. And I'm like, wow, I would have never thought that you would, you know, hang somebody upside down in your basement, or like grow mushrooms on them in your crawl space. But here we are. And I guess I just don't ever go to see your place at all. At least not without, you know, not unsupervised. I need at least a team. Preferably a SWAT team. Yeah. If you got a question, if you got an answer for that, I'd love to hear it. And then we're going to do a Spanish and Korean word for the week. The word for the week is friend, because I think we could all use a friend. Times are a little crazy. People are upset. People are scared. And that main character energy doesn't really get a chance to build if you're being a good enough friend. So if we're looking at the word friend in Spanish, it is amigo. Everybody pretty much knows the word for Spanish. If you lived long enough to watch Sesame Street, you've probably heard the Spanish word for friend, amigo. Very simple. Now, the word in Korean sounds a little different, obviously, but it's like a chingu. So it's like not even chin. It's more like chingu. It's like weird. Like I said, there's something about like the ch and the g pronunciations that come off as like a ts or like a k sometimes. But it's like chingu. So chingu and amigo are Spanish and Korean words for the week, and those mean friend. So I hope you guys have enjoy that one. And if you have any questions or if you want to suggest a word, please feel free. I'd love to hear from you guys too. Yeah, I would definitely love to hear from you guys. I got some because, and also because this is where June is Pride Month. June is also June. We have Juneteenth coming up in just, you know, less than 12 hours. You also got to remember this weekend is Father's Day. And I like to try to give advice for Father's Day, Mother's Day, birthdays, that kind of thing. For Father's Day this year, if you're not going to get him like a cool experience, something awesome, you know what I mean? Don't get him a fuck. I say this every year. Don't get a man for Father's Day. Do not get him fucking body care products to like for maintenance and whatnot. That's just an insult. Like, I know people who are like, oh, I got you this thing from Dollar Shave Club. I'm like, no. Were you saying I'm ratty looking? Oh, I got you like a subscription to this, you know, cologne thing. What are you saying? I stink? Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck was that? What does that say? Imagine getting like a bunch of like soap and shit like that for your mom, but it wasn't like the cool bubble bath kind of thing or a spa treatment. You just got like a bunch of bars of ivory. Here, mom. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, this is for you. You wouldn't do that shit for your mom, but like I said, dudes, like, fuck them. It's like Bill Burr said, anything happens to a guy, it's just considered funny. But for Father's Day, don't get him that shit. Don't get him anything to fucking, you know, like manscaping, body care products. Don't get him any of that shit. And don't get him a fucking project. Some people do this shit for Father's Day. They think it's fucking cute to like get your dad something that he has to go to work to do. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I got you. Like, oh, I get your dad a new lawnmower for Father's Day. Word, just another thing to remind me I got to do chores all the fucking time. That's all I am. That's all I'm worth. Great. Way to make a man feel real special for Father's Day. You know what I mean? And you like wonder why dads check out so often. They're like, fuck it. You don't give a shit anyway. Right? Don't get him any of that shit. Get him like a cool experience. Take your dad to like the little go-kart track. You know what I mean? If there's a local ball game, you know, like a local ball team or something like that, maybe you can't afford to go to a major league ballpark, right? But maybe you got like a local team that's actually pretty decent or whatever. Take him out to the ball game. Take him out for once. You know, I like guns. You know what I mean? I want to get one. I haven't gotten one yet. I would love just a little bit of range time. You know what I mean? Like here, I got you like a, that would be dope actually. Like a subscription to like my local gun range so I don't have to pay the rental fee every time I go in there. You know, like it's like a range fee, and then like there's a rental fee for renting weapons or whatever, and then obviously ammunition and whatnot. But I mean, I'd love to be able to go in there and like have to pay less to go to the range. And you know, maybe I'll get a weapon now that I don't have to worry about paying range fees. I could save up for an actual weapon of my own and just go down to the range, have some range time. You know what I mean? Go pop over someplace and get a steak. You know, send your dad to like a little, maybe not a resort hotel, but like if you got like a place around there, like if there's like a cool place in the mountains or something like that, like a little chalet or something. Hey, you know what? We put it together. Just go away for the weekend. That's what I say. If you can't get him an experience, get him some range time or some like, you know, some kind of experience time or just some alone time. Just let dad just have the fucking day to himself. Don't ask him for shit. Don't ask him to do shit. You know, if you can't afford that shit, you know what? Put him in his favorite, you know, set of whatever. Maybe make him some breakfast and then, you know, just keep the snacks and beers coming and leave him the fuck alone. If you can't do nothing else, do that. If you're not gonna do anything else, just leave me the fuck alone. That's not to be mean, but it's like sometimes, you know, dads do they do all the dirty grunt work and stuff like that. And maybe it'd be nice to be like, hey man, we're not asking you for shit today. So if you don't need it, if you don't need it right now, like the house ain't on fire, we're gonna leave you the fuck alone. You know, we stocked your fridge, you got your snacks, you know what I mean? You know, we rented you like whatever you wanted to see on the pay-per-view. You got you a card for that, right? You can sit here and just veg out. Nobody's gonna mess with you for at least the next 24 to 48 hours. You watch this dude probably break down in tears. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, nobody's gonna ask me for anything. Nobody's gonna have me drive him somewhere or want me to build something or pick something up or lift something heavy. Like, no. Just stay over here and just enjoy not having to do any of this shit. That would be dope as fuck. I've always envisioned like one of these Father's Days or maybe my birthday or something like that. I would just go and just check myself into a hotel for the weekend. I never take vacations, but it would be dope to just go out to the beach, check myself into a hotel for the weekend and not have to think about nothing. Just knowing like everything behind me is taken care of. I could just sit out here and relax, maybe splash around on the ocean. Maybe run up and down the beaches like I used to on my old beach cruiser and hit a couple of bars, maybe check out like the old, you know, old haunts I used to hang out at just to see what it's like, you know. Pop into a place, grab a glass of wine, stop back to the hotel, grab some dinner, watch the fucking, you know, waves come in as the sun's going down. That'd be cool. You know what I mean? Don't need a lot. Just some chill time where I don't have to do stuff for once, you know? I don't have to think about nothing. I think everybody deserves that, though. You know what I mean? It's not just dads. Moms deserve it too. Kids deserve it. Everybody deserves like that moment where they could just be like, woosah, and not have to stress for like at least a couple of days. You know, it's hard to get that here in the States because we don't have, you know, mandated vacations and shit like that, which would be, I don't know, good for our mental health, right? But I mean, if you could do it for your pops, do it for your moms, you know what I mean? Grandmother, mother, you know, grandfather, whatever. I mean, it's Father's Day. So your father, your grandfather, you know, a father figure, a stepfather, whatever. Just give them a little bit of like, hey, man, I got you this cool thing. I know you like this. So I got you the ability to participate in that. You know, maybe your dad's a nerd like me and he wants to go. Like, maybe he's like a boat nerd. And then it's summertime, there might be a boat show or something like that. Get him some tickets to the boat show and just be like, here you go, have fun. What? He's like, oh, we're gonna let you just go do that. You just go do that. And we will see you when you decide to get back. I want to say it was probably Bill Burr, who's kind of along the same lines. He's like, you ever want to see a man like have like a crisis? He's like, just like not know what to do with himself. He's like, make him a sandwich, get him a cold drink, and just walk away. I think he's like, he was doing something. I want to say it was in the yard or something like that, maybe like some yard work or whatever. And he said his wife saw him doing all that stuff. And then she made him a sandwich. She got him like a cold beer and then just left. She didn't just leave him alone. She left the fucking house. She was like, here's a sandwich. Here's a beer. There's cold ones in the fridge. Me and the kids are going away for the week. I think it was like for like the weekend. He's like, I almost cried. I was like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's what it is, dude. Sometimes all duty is just like some just woosah time. I think, but again, I guess that everybody needs that every now and again, you know? But especially for dads, like sometimes you just need like, hey man, you've done a lot. This is enough. Just take the day. You chill and just do that. So yeah, like I said, no fucking cleaning products or body care products, and don't get him another job to do. Oh, I got you a squirrel house to build. Oh, ooh, isn't that nice? Oh, great. Thanks. More work for me. Fucking awesome. You know what I mean? It's like I don't, and a lot of times people do it in like a backhanded way, like, I got this for you. Why? So I could do some more work around a fucking house? Thanks. You could have just got me this like, a month ago on like a random Wednesday. But now I'm not. It has to be for Father's Day. This is all I'm worth. That does drive dudes crazy. Anyway, that's my little bit of Father's Day advice for you guys out there. And then here's a couple little fun things too. Well, not this one. This is not so fun actually. This is kind of along the same lines. How to be a good friend. It's also how to be a good partner. It's a good, like Father's Day, good son, daughter, whatever. This is a good way to do it. I saw this video. I'm gonna see if I can find it. This is a lady called the Dadvocate. And I don't like, I don't get the red pill kind of vibe from her. You know what I mean? Like she doesn't seem like a trad wife kind of person. But she's just basically talking about how like a lot of times men's issues get ignored. Like Bill Burr said, if anything happens to a guy, it's just considered funny. Well, a lot of times men's issues, whether it's their mental or emotional or spiritual health, physical health. It just gets overlooked. People tend to think you're fine until you break down. Then they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? They're not even really concerned as much as they are, just kind of like worried, like, what's going to happen if you don't keep it together, kind of thing. That's not a good place to operate from. It's not a good set of circumstances to operate underneath, as a person. You wouldn't want that for yourself, but we just kind of so easily pass that aside. And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm totally more than well aware of the struggles that women and LGBTQ persons deal with right now. But this isn't about them just this moment. Well, outside of the fact that it's Pride Month. But I'm talking about for Father's Day kind of thing. But this lady was talking about a particular instance where this woman she's talking about how her husband was out in the driveway sleeping in his car. And she goes out there. And she's like, "Why are you sleeping in the car? Why are you out here?" He's like, "Cause I just wanted some chill time to relax." And she's like, "Well, I'm gonna come in here with you." He's like, "No, bro." He's like, "Fuck, man." He's like, "There's a whole reason why I'm out here is so I could just have some time by myself." I was like, "Yo, if you hear the video, I'll find the video and link it in the description so you can check it out." But you hear the absolute sense of defeat and frustration in his voice. It's like this woman just won't leave him the fuck alone. I'm not saying to leave him alone entirely, but she's pestering him constantly. Like she's constantly like beleaguering him and henpecking him, and he's just like, fuck. He's like, I sleep in my car in the driveway because at least I'm home, and it's not like I'm thinking I'm out and running around with some strange floozy or whatever. It's like, but you stress me the fuck out so much, I'd rather sleep in the car than come inside. And that actually is a thing from the Bible. There's an old proverb that goes, it's better to live on the corner of a roof than inside a house with a quarrelsome and contentious wife. It says wife, it could be partner, it could be, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. But I mean that's the truth. When you got somebody who's like this lady just constantly pecking and gnawing and nay, 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 like fuck you. And then later I guess she had another video because I guess the video that she posted this video of herself annoying the fuck out of her husband. It hit the Breakfast Club and he saw it eventually because she didn't tell him that she posted the video. She just made it and then put it up. And he's like, I don't follow her social media like that. I don't give a shit. But then he started getting roasted on the Breakfast Club and a couple of other media outlets. And he was like, man, you got my business out here like this? I'm looking like a henpecked fool. And it sounds like they're getting ready to break up. And the Dadvocate lady was just like, you imagine how bad of a person you have to be for this man to choose to sleep in the car, in the driveway, where everybody can see him, as opposed to just coming inside. He's like, he wouldn't even come inside to sleep in like the, sleep in the garage, in the bathroom, in the tub. He's like, I gotta sleep in the fucking car in case she come out here, I can just drive away. That's crazy talk. Anyway, the Dadvocate has some fun videos out there. I mean, when I say fun, I mean it's fun as far as sparking debates and commentary and whatnot. But yeah, that one was crazy. And I saw that, I'm like, man, I'm so glad I have to deal with that shit. Like, nobody's perfect. I know I sure as fuck aren't. I sure as fuck am not. Aren't. I sure aren't perfect. And see, I just did that. But man, I couldn't imagine if my wife was like that. I wouldn't just be in the driveway. I think I would have just started driving and kept pointing the car in one direction and just kept driving until I ran out of fucking gas. You know what I mean? And then I would have just kept walking until I ran out of foot skin or something. I couldn't deal with that. That would drive me fucking crazy. I'm grateful that I don't have that problem, man. God, that poor bastard. You could just hear it in his voice. He sounded crushed. I was like, ugh. Gross. Anyway, let's do something a little bit more lighthearted. One, we're talking about Bungie real quick. Bungie and Sony are clearly getting the boots put to them via social media. They're making more of the same mistakes. The developers are still trying to push this last content update through. Bungie's trying to fire more people. Sony's trying to get rid of Bungie. The whole thing's a shit show, and nobody has any idea if we'll ever see a Destiny 3. Probably not. I'm going to put my money on probably not. This last week or so being the latest content update, I think by the time this comes out, it's only been just barely over a week. It came out on the 9th of July. Yeah, it's been barely over a week. It's still like fun to go through the moments of triumph and do all this crazy hood rat shit with your friends. The new Soul Siphon melee attack for Warlocks is very, very fun. I'm not sure exactly how all the mechanics work. I think at least part of it just like sucks the energy and the melee. It's like it's melee and super energy out of the target and causes them to explode. But then after that, there's like a period of time where the Warlock kind of charges up their ability, and then it seems like they let go like a concussive burst in their general vicinity. I've yet to see anything survive past the Arms of Hadar, as I've been calling them, with my friend Nerdy Neopagan. So the Arms of Hadar pretty much destroys anything it touches for the most part. And I think the concussive blast is meant to finish off anybody who's still left standing. But it hasn't been a problem. It just basically ate everybody else. So I never had to worry about it. It's fun to play around that toolkit. It's sad that Bungie's given so little shits about the game that they're really ready to watch it die. But, I mean, if we're going out, wee! I'm going out with a bang. No pun intended. And Sparrow Racing League is back, and it was as fun and frustrating as I remember it. You know? It's fun to race your little scooty puffs around the maps and stuff like that. It is crazy to actually have to think about, like, yeah, you can't actually die on the maps. Like, you can fly off a ledge, you can hit a pothole, like, not a pothole, but like a gap when you're trying to make a jump and fall. There are enemies that you can slam into or who will fire at you so they can kill you too. It's crazy. I mean, it's basically pod racing, but in Destiny universe. I do regret that we never got like a fully realized intentional way to use the ships that we gain in the game, except for just to be flashy stuff. But, ifs and buts, right? But yeah, I mean, it's been fun. I've been enjoying it. I also have been enjoying Where Winds Meet because I got to see that because it came out. It was very pretty looking. Some minor, I guess, minor technical issues when it comes to timing the parry attacks and the parries, the attacks, and some of the other abilities. It's still kind of being optimized for controller. It's meant to work with the controller. I don't think that they got a lot of the timing and stuff down well. And there's some minor mechanics that do need some fine tuning, particularly when it comes to like parrying attacks. There's a mode that lets you parry an attack. And then when you do so, you can create an opening to do extra damage to the enemy that you're parrying against. However, being able to read the attack is a little bit difficult. Everybody has like a different charge-up time. There's almost no animation to let you know that they're going to attack. Unless you enable a special mode in which that does become the case, time slows down. You can kind of time your button press to hit the parry. However, that mode is contingent upon certain charges that have to be built. And if you don't have enough charges, you can't do the counterattack, which is problematic because that's the one that actually helps you get through the battles with a little bit more ease. But the mechanic is not fully polished enough to make it work. Now, there's a bunch of other games that do this parrying mechanic quite well. Despite how I might feel about them, a lot of the Soulsborne games do have a reasonably transparent, I guess is a way to put it, mechanic for how to time your parries, but this game seems to have ignored that and hasn't implemented it, except for putting in a system that penalizes you for doing the thing that they want you to do. It's very bizarre. But other than that, it's actually really cool. It looks great. The costumes are absolutely fantastic. The character customization is off the charts, except for the fact that you can't really change your skin color much. Like, you can find like a base skin color palette that's close to what you think you look like, and then you could kind of tool it from there with like your facial features, but you can't get like brown skin. I know the Chinese are fairly xenophobic, especially when it comes to black people. That's like not a new thing. That's a fairly widely documented phenomenon, which I've seen some more stuff about recently. But I mean, come on, dude. There's more than one. There's all these dollars spend the same, right? I'm not going to say the actual quote, but there's a quote from like Boardwalk Empire. It's like, you know, brown pennies spend like black pennies spend like white pennies. It's like, it doesn't matter what color you are, as long as your money's still green, you know, or whatever. That's all that matters. And if you're out for the money, then why not give the people a little something, right? But yeah, it's a cool little, not cool little, it's a cool, expansive, and bizarre game. And it literally, from as an open world game, you can get into some murderous encounters like at moment one. Like, once you get out into the world, like, there's one encounter with some kind of, I forget what they call him, it's like some kind of like lieutenant or something. He's just kind of like lumbering around in an area where you are looking out across the plains. You can see him kind of like walking around like a circle. And on the road towards his little location, it's just strewn with dead bodies. And I'm like, probably don't go talk to that guy. Pretty sure he doesn't want to offer us a cool little, you know, jar full of medicinal herbs. Like, I'm thinking he pretty much only serves death at this restaurant, and I don't want to eat that today. So I managed to dodge that, and there's actually a way to, like, just like in a game like Elden Ring or like other Soulsborne games, where you can leave like a little signpost to kind of warn other players, and like one of them says, like one of the signposts was like, says, it just pings right in front of the guy. It's like, caught unawares, caught unawares, caught unawares, avoid, beware. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And all the players were about like the same level or higher than I was. So they were like, I got over here and I got cooked. And I'm like, okay, we're going to go elsewhere this time. But yeah, the great mechanics. The triple jump mechanic is very wuxia. It has the same kind of like... wuxia, like, you know, is that flying tiger, hidden, you know, crouching tiger, hidden dragon kind of House of Flying Daggers, wire foo sort of thing, set in like, you know, like a more medieval, I guess, Chinese history sort of. Very pretty, very fun. And being able to do like the crazy jumps and leaps in the air and being able to run up walls and float over giant gaps by using, you know, the power of chi. It's really fun. I also like the fact that there are different martial weapons you can learn. It's not just your traditional swords, spears, whatever. You can learn how to use a rope dart. You can learn how to use a fan as your weapon. You can get an umbrella, which is the one I really want to learn how to use. I think there's plenty of other weapons that are available in the game. So there's a wide variety of martial arts styles that you can learn. And they even have a cool mechanic where if you want to learn how to do certain special moves, you can do what's called a skill theft. And while you're watching a creature or NPC perform a skill, you can copy it in sync with them. And if you copy it correctly often enough, you'll learn that skill. And you can add it to like your wheel of abilities that you can use at any given time. It's a really cool concept. And I found it to be pretty... At least the first couple times I've tried it has been pretty intuitive. There's even some other mini games in the world that are fun. If you're curious about it, it's free on Game Pass. I would encourage you to check it out. If you really like open world exploration things and don't mind a little bit of hacky slash kind of energy with your combat, do that. Just be warned, you got to kind of keep your head on a swivel. There are some encounters that you can accidentally walk into and get yourself cooked right away. Thankfully, the one that I did at first was a replayable event. So you can kind of replay it over and over again until you beat it. There's no real consequence for doing it, except just feeling a little embarrassed if you do it on stream like I did. But yeah, it's a really fun game, and I'm enjoying it. I'm going to play some more of it this week too, including today and probably tomorrow after I do my Final Fantasy run, because it's been a while. I need to go back to that. And yeah, I also picked up one that I haven't bought it yet, and I'm really, really considering buying it, called Black Jacket. Kind of like Balatro, this is a roguelike game built around a card game. Well, Balatro is built around poker. This is built around, guessed it, blackjack. In the game, you are a soul who has been, I guess, mistakenly conscripted to the underworld. And as a way of trying to, like, get yourself out into the light, you know, or back to your, I think they say you can actually go back to your living world, like to your own body. You have to basically play hands of 21 blackjack against a myriad of opponents in the underworld. Some of whom are boss characters, some of whom are just kind of NPC characters along the way that you have to take out to get up. And it's a very interesting concept, very minimalist in design and aesthetic, but incredible voice acting. The art design of the game itself is such that they don't require a lot of extra flash and, you know, pomp and circumstance to make you feel completely drawn in and immersed immediately. Like, and it's unsettling how quickly you get, like, unnerved and unsettled. You know, it's like, I didn't expect to get as invested as quickly as I have been in this game, but now I want to play more. So, and it's a fantastic game, and it's relatively inexpensive. I believe when I looked, it was about $25 on the Xbox Store. I'm sure it's on other platforms as well. Xbox Series X and S, probably available on PlayStation and Steam, I would imagine. But I didn't bother to confirm that before I started the podcast. I was too busy trying to get in here and get it did. And so, yeah, I was really digging that. And here's a note for you guys out there. If you play multiplayer games or you hang out with people who do, don't just randomly join somebody's game. That is really actually quite rude. And some people are like, oh, I don't mind. No. It's the same. And to me, it's the same concept of if I'm at my house and you just open my door and walk in, that's a good way to get shot. Or stabbed, because I don't have a gun yet. But, I mean, it's just like, you don't just walk into somebody's house and just start hanging out there, right? Even if they are your friend, usually knock and let them know you're coming over. You know what I mean? Send them a text. Hey, I'm on the way, maybe. But to just show up in somebody's, you know, somebody's game or whatever is very rude. And it's, again, more that main character energy. That's not really very fun. It can be quite off-putting. Like, even though I know that I stream a lot and I'm in online games with my friends who do stream and do play games online quite regularly and we play together, I still always try to ask, hey, can I join you? Because, like, you never know. They might not be in the mood to have anybody around. They might be in the middle of engaging in an activity that they don't want anybody to join them with. But to take it upon yourself to say, like, I'm just going to show up, don't do that. Because after you do it enough times, it'll make people just not want you around, period. And like I said, that main character energy is a real mother, and we need to stop doing that. We start discouraging people from just being like that. And speaking of that, discouraging people from being shit, there's a show on Netflix called Teach You a Lesson, which is absolutely brutal but fantastic. It's a small little series. I think it's only about like six to eight episodes long. And it centers around a group of, I will say, educators who've been recruited by the Minister of Education in South Korea to essentially weed out corruption, abuse, and violence in the schools by beating the shit out of the students and the teachers. It's pretty fucking crazy. But it is kind of cathartic and funny to watch people who have main character energy really meet somebody with main character energy. You know what I mean? The lead agent in the show has, like, probably one of the most bizarrely comforting and at the same time terrifying smiles I've ever seen on a protagonist. And just farms aura, seriously. Like, he farms aura like he was hired by Monsanto. It's just crazy how he just puts out such a wild, but it's like a how do I put it? I'm trying to think about how best to say this. It's like you have like a tunnel, right? Yeah, I think the best way they could put it is like if you had a tunnel, no, if you had like a rail gun that fired bears. That's what I'm thinking of. There's this wild, almost manic energy that comes off this dude, but it's completely focused on doing what it's there to do, right? That's the best way I can say it. It's like firing a bear out of a rail gun. And it's like, rawr, but it's coming straight at you. Like this is not missing. And it hits. It hits hard. And it's a brutal fucking series, but it actually is pretty cathartic. And as you start to watch it, you start to empathize more with the characters. If you were like, oh, that's not nice, don't do that. By the end of the show, you're gonna be like, okay, I kind of get what you're saying here, bro. Yeah, they kind of had that shit coming. It is very crazy, but I think you'll enjoy it. If you like martial arts and you like the kind of revenge tales, this is definitely a pick up and watch. I think you guys will really enjoy it. And yeah, that's gonna do it for this podcast, I think. Only thing I'm gonna leave on with is it you guys it's 2026, right? In most places, in a lot of locations, not everywhere, but in a lot of locations, marijuana is legal. Even if you have to have a medical ID card to get it, it's a thing you can do. I would just like to encourage the people who are still acting like it's 1997, 1995, whatever. Somewhere there in that era when like the whole weed smoking thing was really like, oh man, now I'm super cool because I smoke weed, man. And only the cool kids really do this. It's not like some counterculture loser. You know what I mean? Like the really cool chill bro smoke this. Like, dude, when smoking weed becomes your personality, it's time to find a new personality. Like that is so, as they would say, 2000 and late. Like we got to do better. You know, find a fucking hobby. You know, join a book club. Paint model airplanes. I don't know. You know what? Join Big Brothers, Big Sisters. But weed smoking can't be your entire personality. You gotta develop that shit. That made me think of something we heard in the car on the way back from the airport. Some lady was talking about heteropessimism, where people are heterosexual, they operate in the heterosexual, sphere of influence and dating, but they're largely pessimistic and self-deprecating about it, but they still keep going. They don't just go like, maybe I'll just be celibate. Maybe I'll explore other aspects of my sexuality. Like I'm definitely straight, but I'm definitely shitty about it. Like we gotta find better ways to express our personalities, guys. Maybe you guys make a podcast. Maybe you come and join me on mine. Maybe you can send me an email at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and tell me what you think about this topic. Oh, I gotcha. Right there at the end. There it is. You can also check me out over on Twitch at twitch.tv/link. I'll be doing some more gaming today and tomorrow, which will be Friday, the 19th of June. So Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth again ahead of everybody else before they get to it. And in the meantime, in between time, again, remember, it's very, very hot outside. Take frequent breaks to come inside and cool off. Drink plenty of water. Stay in the shade. Wear sunscreen. And drink more water. And then, yeah, enjoy your Juneteenth. And let's all try to be friends to one another. You don't have to be a main character. You can just be a friend. Be a chingu. Or an amigo to somebody in your world today. That's it. I'm Link Flores. You guys have been dope, and I will see you ramblers a little further on down the road. Peace.